Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you well this morning, inshallah.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. Things are fine here in Pakistan, the Pakistan. How's everything in South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, tum alhamdulillah. Yes, I've seen you sent me quite a few statements, interesting statements. One was this: Australia's FM warns of risk that there will be no Palestine left to recognize. And yesterday you did send me...
Look how long it took people to recognize Palestine. And now it looks like Israel has already decided that there is going to be any more Palestine. Is going to be the great Israel. So the drama continues. The drama continues. The people are rallying. It was 300,000 in Australia. 300,000 people in Australia supporting our brothers in Gaza. But the foreign minister and the prime minister, they can't do anything, or they can only, you know, hang their heads that maybe it's too late and this and that.
Yes.
But this is what we said yesterday, that it's sad that our leaders didn't take advantage of the goodwill that they had. There's a lot of public support behind them to do something. But none of the leaders, Muslim countries, non-Muslim countries, the leadership is not doing anything.
And interestingly, you've spoken about leadership, because this morning we've seen, and I've shared with the listeners as well, but it's interesting to hear your side of it as well, that I'm here in a particular studio, and it's safe where I am, and I want to mobilize an army, but I'm going to lead the army from this particular studio. I'm going to check on everything, and I'm going to do all of these things, but I'm not with the army on the ground. So can we really call this leadership? You will laugh at me and you say, what kind of leader is this? You're sitting in your fortified fortress and you're giving instructions. That's not leader. You can say assistance maybe for this, but you can't call yourself a leader. If you want to be a leader, you've got to lead from the front. That was Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we saw the hadith of, it was the day of Khandaq, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they couldn't break this huge, big boulder. So they knew they could trust their leader because he's got more strength. And they went to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave it one solid strike, and this whole thing turned into a heap of sand. So when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood up, they saw already that he's got a stone attached to his stomach because of hunger. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, there were 3 days. وَلَبِثْنَا ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ لَا نَذُوقُ ذَوَاقًا. We didn't taste anything for those 3 days. We didn't taste anything for 3 days. And here's your leader. He comes, he stands, he breaks the boulder. That is leadership. So when we look at now, you look at Netanyahu, who is giving this instruction from perhaps wherever he may be, when he's called to court in we speak of Jerusalem, then he calls in sick and says this, that, the other. When he is called to fight, there's not a blood stain on his shirt. There is, and they accuse so many other leaders of Hamas, of the Mujahideen, to say that they are stealing the food, looting the food, this, that. But we are seeing the total opposite here. They, as soon as there's even just a squeak on the window of Netanyahu, he's gone underground, nobody can find him, nobody can see him, nobody hears of him. So the leadership like this. Now, why I say this is because he's given the instruction to fully occupy the Gaza Strip. So now we come to the actual leader who is there on the ground of the IDF. His name is Eyal Zamir. He's known as the Chief of Staff. He says, no, we cannot go ahead with this, and this will constitute a trap for the IDF. we've got his statements recorded previously. He said this is one of the toughest wars they've ever faced in history. And Hamas is giving them a tough time. So he is the leader and he's seeing what's happening and he's saying this is a threat for the IDF. So now these threats are coming in from people who are not on the ground, such as Netanyahu, his son Yair Netanyahu as well. He's a keyboard warrior. So he slammed the chief of staff, Eyal Zamir, to say that this year is a rebellion and even use words like saying attempted military coup that is fit for Banana Republic in Central America in the 70s. I wasn't born in the 70s, so Mufti, you can tell us what's this about. But leading from the back in your fortified fort, making these statements to a man who's on the ground and he's saying the reality, it's just not, no, this is a guerrilla warfare. And they're facing a tough time.
Yeah, and we have Hamas who refuses to put down their weapons. They're at the battlefield. Okay, they're facing the bullets, they're facing the bombs. And the Arab leaders, who are supposed to be on our side, as you say, they're trying to lead from the back, saying, yes, drop your weapons, Hamas, drop your weapons. Okay, so we can have a two-state solution. Okay. So, yeah, it's on both sides. Yeah, you're absolutely right. People calling the shots from the back are saying one thing, but the people who are there in the trenches, in the foxholes, as they say, there's no atheists in foxholes. All right, the reality is when you know you're facing the guns and the bombs, and you have the best idea on how to proceed. Not the people in the air conditioned rooms, you know, drinking Dupati. You know, and making these decisions.
Hmm. And like we said last week, I actually found the hadith where we were speaking about being obese, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned this and spoke about this. He said, "Khayru ummati qarni," the best of my ummah is those who are with me now. That means Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then thumma yalunahum. Then those who are connected, so it is the Tabi'in, then the Tabi' Tabi'in. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that this time will come where people, they will not be asked to testify or give serve as a witness, but they will just testify, serve as witnesses, and falsely they will deceive. That will be all their qualities. And part of this year is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is, Saman with a scene this year is fat, to be fat. This will become common. And this will be something of become like of a norm in that particular time. And the hadith is here. If you look at it in Riyadu Salihin, you'll find it under hadith 509 for the listeners. You can check it in your free time. وَيَذْهَرُوا فِيهِمُ السَّمَنُ. And amongst them, obesity will become apparent. These are, so I'm saying that how does this all fit in is because we mentioned last week that we all sitting in our comfort zone and ready to say drop your weapons. Hamas is causing all of this, and forget giving up what we supposed to be, at least, you know, turning to and earning the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we've turned away from that. And we're actually now criticizing those who are actually sacrificing. Now that's become something very serious.
Yeah, there's no feelings and there's no direction. I think the other leaders of the Muslims and Arabs, they're just concerned that for their own survival. Their own political survival, that they stay in power. And these are the types of statements that they're making that America wants them to make. So they do that. They gave like $1 trillion in bribe money to Donald Trump or all the Gulf states and what have you. And it wasn't to defend the people of Gaza, nor was it to defend the people of the UAE or the people of Saudi. Yeah. It was to defend the Saudi royal family and the UAE royal family in case the people rise up against them. And that's the way, that's the reality of it. The leadership of the Gulf countries and the other countries only concerned with them staying in power. Okay. And the biggest threat that they have is not Israel attacking them, but their own people trying to throw them out of power. Mm. So they give money to America, and America will ensure that there'll be no revolution within Saudi or, you know, Qatar or any place like that, because the people that are in power are good slave boys. So we'll make sure that everything stays status quo. Mm. Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is.
There's something, I just want to shift the topic a little bit. Yesterday I saw, in fact, it's not something strange anymore. Whenever you're looking at the news articles, you find all of these strange statements. And so they're actually still investigating this, this Titan. And it was during that moment they wanted to go and check. Five people got onto this. It was the Ocean Gate sub. And they got onto it and they wanted to see what happened to the Titanic. And this thing exploded. So I was just shocked to see still now they are still investigating this. And BBC is just, you can see just last night's news. It said here, Titan sub firm used intimidation tactics and critically flawed safety practices. And these were just people who were wanting to go and see what happened to the Titanic and the total wreck that was there below on the bed of the ocean. So that thing also explodes and they can't find a reason as to why this is happening. Then yesterday, they also mentioned, so you can't solve these issues. And you want to go now and say that they're going to have certain things on the moon where the human beings can go on the moon. So we say, what happened to all your previous claims where you've claimed already that people want the moon? We can say safely, and we know, understand clearly, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam split the moon. He didn't go to the moon to split the moon. He split the moon from here. And that's a miracle in itself. But like we always say, they've always got to match and try and beat, but they always fail. And when they fail, now they've released another clip about this whole Titan thing, and they've named it also. So that's what they're good at doing, is making a movie out of it just to play with the emotions of people. And sadly so, our Muslims just get all involved in all of these things. Yes, the name of the clip is...
Yeah, there's a lot to that Titanic, though, that meets the eye. I think there were three. There were supposed to be four billionaires on the Titanic, and three went. But it was supposed to be three billionaires and two went. One billionaire did not go, and the Titanic went, and as we know, it sank. And right after that, the two or the three people that were on the Titanic who were billionaires were against having a Federal Reserve Bank in America. Mm. Okay. It was the Astors and not the Rockefellers, but a couple of others. They were against having a Federal Reserve Bank. And so the two or the three that were on the boat, they drowned, okay? And the one who wanted to start a Federal Reserve Bank, he, at the last minute, did not get on the boat, okay? He survived. Shortly after that, the things were put into work, and America got a Federal Reserve Bank, okay? So there's a lot to it, and other people saying that that wasn't really the Titanic that sank. It was the sister ship. All right. The person that owned the Titanic owned the other ship that was older than that. Okay. And that was really the ship that sank. Mm-hmm. Now, if this submarine goes down and can take pictures, okay, and we can see that this ship that is here is not really the Titanic that it was supposedly, then a lot of things will be exposed. And so Allah knows best, okay? Allah knows best with all of that.
Hmm. Yeah, we don't need to carry on like it's some sort of revelation or something, but you can deny it, you can accept it. It's not going to affect us much.
Yes.
Now, coming to other aspects, is there anything that you want to address, Mufti Saab, that you've seen? I know you're always seeing disturbing things. I saw you send a nice statement also. I grew up living paycheck to paycheck, but through hard work and perseverance, I now live direct deposit to direct deposit.
So what has changed? Nothing has changed. I mean, people are living and they're not able to save anything. The inflation is so much, and the rise in your salary is so little, especially in America. And the lifestyle is completely different to Pakistan. Pakistan, you're still able to save some money. Mm. Okay, even though the inflation is just out of the roof, but still people are able to save money and not necessarily have to live from salary to salary, paycheck to paycheck. But in America, it's almost impossible because you're living above your means. You're living off of credit cards, okay? So you're purchasing greater than the amount that you're earning almost every month. It's a victory for you in America if you break even every month and not further, a little bit further in debt. Controllable debt. Okay. And then the people who can't control it, they go for bankruptcy. Mm. Okay. But even if you go bankrupt, you can still survive. Okay. The court just says, okay, the amount of money that you make, we'll just take a certain percentage of it and we will give it to the people that you owe money to. Mm. So it's not the end of the world in America.
Mm.
Okay, to have red numbers, to be in the red every month is not the end of the world. So much so that you go into bankruptcy and you can still survive. Okay, because they're going to take your money and they're going to pay your creditors. All right, little by little, they're going to do that. So there you go.
Yes. There's another statement. I don't know, I just didn't see it, but I'm seeing it now, which is very relevant for this month, especially in South Africa. If you see the newspaper, it says National Women's Month, shedding light on resilience. And they always come out with this gender-based violence, but they call it GBV, gender-based violence. So the impression is always given that, and we don't deny this takes place on a certain level, which has to be stopped. Islam does not promote it. Where men beat women up and the rest, like really leave scars, which Islam does not allow and does not call for at all. But this year is so commercialized and put in such light, like you're shedding light on resilience. Like women, they are really resilient and they free from any problems. So you send the statement yesterday, 40 years ago, parents warned daughters about bad men. Now, today, they warn sons about modern women. So, this was, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us about money and women constantly. This was something, a fitna that is going to grip the ummah. And if we see deeper into it, it's one of the, if you can control, which is something that is, you should make shukr and be grateful for. If you're not attracted to women and money, that means you are saved from a lot, because let's take ulama, they will use these opportunities and through via these two means, because Jews, they use our ahadith, our Quran, not to benefit from it, just so that they can use it to attack the Muslims. They know their weaknesses now. So, okay, this is the weakness. Let's go in for it. And that is where we have to show resilience. So this year is important, what you've mentioned about modern woman, feminism. This whole GBV is based on that. To give a voice to feminism and to broadcast it in such a manner that they are totally right. And they can go out becoming slaves of bosses, and we've spoken about this previously.
Yeah, the older nations, the Romans, the Greeks, they believed in the mother god. And it seemed like they're trying to bring that back, where the woman is like the king of the universe, okay? And by a man being a real man, he's called it's called toxic masculinity. It's masculinity. It's a bad thing for a man to stand up and be a man. Okay, they want us to be completely like emasculated. Okay, so that's the big that's the big difference.
Mm.
Before that quote was, you know, the girls had to be worried about these bad men. These men that will get them pregnant and will marry them. That was the big thing, to have babies and not be married. But now, the women, they putting demands before you commit zina with them. Okay, there's too many posts that go viral. She said, if you want to take me out on the first date, you have to pay to have my nails done. Okay. You, the suitor, you'll have to pay for my nails.
Mm.
Okay. There's another woman. Before you date her, you have to make enough to pay her rent. And she gives the amount of her rent. And she has, two or three boy children. Okay. And they need this amount per month. Okay, and she's expecting that you're gonna buy them the new Jordan basketball sneakers, and utility bills of this amount. So he gives you the whole amount of money that she needs for the month that you'll have to supply to her before you can date her.
Hmm.
Okay, so this is you have to be on the lookout for women like this now. It wasn't like that before. It's like that now for the kuffar. And any man that, you know, stands up, you know, and is a real man. Oh, this is toxic masculinity. Okay, it's a poisonous. He's anti-woman, you know. He's so a man can't be a man nowadays.
Mm. It's a sin to be a man.
Yes.
According to them.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And in that, how
nothing wrong with you getting your nails done and men carrying pocketbooks, okay, and wearing skirts and mascara and lipstick and all these things and still being called a man.
Mm.
You know, being in touch with his feminine side.
Mm.
Being in touch with his feminine side. We have X chromosome and male chromosome, right?
Mm.
All right, the men. All right, so half a female and then half a man. So, you know, when you do these things, you're getting in touch with the feminine side of you by wearing lipstick and fingernail polish and things and carrying a pocketbook.
Mm.
You know, be nice to me or else I'll hit you with my purse.
So, I just, a reflection of school, there was this one male, right? He was born male, everything. But Allah knows best whether he was Muslim, definitely, the rest. But sometimes you just confuse because they're male, but they maybe, perhaps, because you make excuses and you just tend to think maybe they were brought up amongst too many females, so they don't know how is it to be a proper male or whatever. So you don't go to the extent to say that they're entirely attracted to the same or to the, what would you say? It gets so confusing. But they are like changed in terms of their behavior patterns. When you see their behavior patterns, it looks feminine. So I remember this this person, and he was very on the, when you spoke to him, feminine side, and people in those days in school, we said this previously, it was like a, that was a crime, and it was a good crime.
Right.
To be like, you're acting like a female, they would call you words like F-A-G and the rest. So this person, he used to enjoy it. Why? Because all the girls, they never used to feel like he's a threat to them. They never used to feel him to be a threat. So they could confide in him, and they knew he doesn't have no ulterior motives like getting into their pants or anything of that sort. So they built up this, and he used to enjoy all the fame, like he's walking around with all the females. But just exactly like what you said, don't hit me with the purse, and or I'm going to slap you with the purse or something.
That's why I said that. That was very popular back then. But yeah, when I first got married, my wife, she said that a woman's best friend is a faggot. Mm. Okay, because they, you know, they have the same concern about dressing and cleanliness and things like that. They're your best friend until they start competing for your boyfriend. That's where it ends. They also after the same thing. They're both after men. Mm. So, and then there's sometimes there's a competition.
Yeah.
A woman's best friend is gay, all right? And they have a contest. They see a male and they say, I can commit Zina with that man before you can. All right, and that's what the gay will say to the straight woman. Mm. All right, they'll have a competition. Oh, I can go to bed with her before you.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, they're the best friends until they compete for the same man.
Mm.
And that's how backwards it is. That's how strange it is now.
Yes, and it is backwards. The real is when we go back to men, and I'm saying this to men because men also in our country, some places, I don't say all, most are striving. But when you sit back and you now feel like you just want to get spoiled by the woman's earnings, then this is what's going to happen to you. As you use that word, they're going to take out your masculinity. And you're just going to be sitting because you're not doing what you are supposed to be doing, and that is going out and earning. So both sides, we balance it off always, so nobody can come back and say, yeah, he's anti-feminine or he's anti-female. Both sides, males may have to do what they have to do, and that is the responsibility Allah has placed upon you. And females, you've got to sit at home, not be a slave for some boss or any of that sort. And in fact, just we'll end off with this. In this article I was reading, that this woman is a widow and the rest, and she didn't have another choice, and she has to go out and earn, and how people never support her because... So at that particular time, Rasulullah also gave a solution. And he said, oh men, where are you? That you need to spend, give money to that family. You, of course, the other fitna is you now go give that money because you have some ulterior motives. And so you don't give it directly. You get your wife or your some female involved. It's your mahram too, and you let her go and give it, the money. And this reward is spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what kind of rewards you get for spending on a widow. So that's where all this fits in. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never said, you, a widow, go out and earn now. That wasn't the instruction.
Right.
Anyway, Mufti Saab, we've gone over time. Make dua for us, and inshallah, we'll meet you tomorrow, inshallah, for some, just a few minutes, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.